Shabbat Shalom.
The last two Torah portions have been focused on the greatest gift to the Jewish people, Matan Torah, the giving of Torah. This week's Torah portion begins the building of the Ark for the precious tablets etched by the hand of God. Ivy Superfan will read the beginning of the Holy Construction Project tomorrow morning as she becomes a bat mitzvah. Tonight, I'll share the three verses that follow Ivy's. Va'asita shnaim kiruvim zahav, miksha ta'ase otam, mishne kitzot hakaporet. Make two cherubim of gold, make them of hammered work at the two ends of the cover. Make one cherub at one end and the other cherub at the other end. One of the pieces with the cover shall you make the cherubim at its two ends. The cherubim shall have wings spread out above, shielding the cover with their wings. They shall confront each other face to face, the faces of the cherubim being turned towards the cover. Cherubim, plural for cherub. What's the first thing? This is not a rhetorical question. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word cherub? So I'm going to pull all that together and spot on. A child, a beautiful, innocent, chubby, healthy-looking child with wings. A cherub. Something like this. Something like this. If you can imagine these cherubim positioned above the ark, the near tamid, the everlasting life, would be placed close by. Instead of sliding doors, there would be a curtain, the Hebrew kaporet. No surprise that there are actually many interpretations of the cherubim. Some imagine the cherubim stationed at the entrance of the Garden of Eden, wielding flaming swords, preventing Adam and Eve from returning to the garden. Some imagine cherubim as giant, intimidating figures stationed outside of Solomon's temple in Jerusalem, forcing those who enter to be somber and frightening off those that have no business being in the temple. Some depict the cherubim as beings that haul God's divine chariot, some depicted as a man and a woman, some thought to be angels. What has fascinated the rabbis and readers of Torah throughout the generations is that the cherubim are facing one another and that there is an empty space between them. Our tradition teaches us the possibility of experiencing God exists in this empty space. The question is how we choose to fill the space. If we act with malice and hatred, with the intention of doing harm, God's presence is driven away. When we act with consideration for others, when we extend love and care for all of God's creation, we invite God's presence. For tonight, I invite us to see the cherubim as a child and a teacher. For the past 2 weeks, we have been blessed to have master teacher from Israel, Rachel Korazim, a friend of Temple Solel's, give us a sense, via Zoom, of what Israel has been experiencing since October 7th in what she has entitled Poems for Our Times. Rachel, like no other teacher I've ever experienced, provides a window into Israel through poetry and music. There's one more class this Wednesday, 12 o'clock, and I really promise it will be as meaningful a class as you'll ever experience. So I hope you will join me. But let me tonight share one poem. This is a poem that made its way around the internet. That in itself says volumes about Israel and the Jewish people. The love of words, in this case a poem, is at the heart of the Jewish people. Why? Because they touch us. Words touch us, nourish us, elevate us, bring us to our knees, break our hearts, offer healing. Words have a hold on us. Rachel had never heard of the poet Avitai Liman. Though she scoured the internet, she could not find a trace, but she won't give up. What Rachel can say is that by name Avital, that the poet is a woman, and by the heart of the poet, Rachel intuits the poet must be someone in a caring community. This translation is what I'll share tonight. It is a collaborative effort between Rachel and two of her students and friends, Heather Silverman and Michael Bonen. Just a little context. Displaced Israelis after October 7th have been in the hundreds of thousands displaced within Israel. Most of them have sought shelter in southern Israel, Dead Sea, or Eilat. So let me read the poem in its English translation. In the evacuees' hotel by the Dead Sea, she carefully gathers the doll's hair with a ribbon. She attaches a sparkling pipe cleaner to the ribbon. And then she asks, "Tell me, am I alive? And how would they know if I were dead? What would you say to a 4-year-old girl? Only the living can hug. Come, let's hug and see if we're alive." Later she says, "Tomorrow morning, let's check again." In the wake of a living hell and the unimaginable, there is a need, an attempt to create a modicum of normalcy for those that survived, those that carry indelible scars. Here, there's a teacher, something like this photograph that Rachel selected, providing art as an outlet for the children. The she, we come to learn, is a 4-year-old girl who asks, "Tell me, am I alive? And how would they know if I were dead?" The poet asks us, the readers, what would you say to a 4-year-old girl? And somehow the poet herself, channeling the heavens, drawing on the very spirit of God, answers, "Only the living can hug. Come, let's hug and see if we're alive." Imagine that. As Rachel said, and a number of you were there, Judy, I was just stunned by this. Rachel said, the poet's response through the teacher to the child gives us a new halakha, a new divinely inspired response to the underbelly of humanity. Let's hug and see if we're alive. The cherubim, positioned above words of Torah, above the ark, as with all of us, are challenged to look directly at one another and then choose how we fill the empty space between us. The poem does not look at October 7th and each of the ensuing 132 days and counting through rose-colored glasses. The pain and scar will never go away. And yet, what defines us as Jews and human beings? Of course, it's our obligation to defend ourselves and seek justice. Yet, make no mistake about it, Jews are here thousands of years later by striving as best we can to fill the space between us with empathy, compassion, mercy, courage, resilience, hope, and yes, love. Ivy, as you'll read tomorrow, Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti bitocham. God says, make me a sanctuary so I might dwell amongst you. God is manifest in the world not by the physical spaces we build, but by the space we open in our hearts, how we interact as a community and carry that goodness and anticipation of a new day into the world. Tomorrow morning, let's check again.
Oh God, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary. Ve'asuli mikdash v'shachanti betocham, va'anachnu nevarech ya me'ata ve'adolam. Oh God, prepare a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a living sanctuary.